they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole.
Get
we found
ready. It's time again to venture down the rabbit hole into the world of cybersecurity. You're plugged into the podcast for security leaders and practitioners with a business sense. Prepare for unique interviews, insights, and practical advice that makes your job just a bit easier. And now, please welcome your guides on this adventure, James Jardine and the White Rabbit, Ruffalos.
All right, folks, welcome to a very, very special edition of the Down to Security Rabbit Hole podcast, because this is a milestone for us. It is number 300, man. James, we did it. We got to 300.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know what really surprises me is how fast it feels like it's gone.
Oh boy, yeah, it's you know, I cannot believe. So, folks, if you don't know this, we started a long, long time ago, back in 2011. If you don't remember, the first episode was the original SecBiz podcast called Talking Security with my buddy Phil Cox, September 13th, 2011. It has been a long road, but holy cow, I can't believe you're still doing. We are still doing this.
It's amazing. I know when I came on, it's been, I don't remember exactly when it was, but it's been at least 4 years that I've been doing this with you, and it's been one heck of a ride, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've gotten to do some cool stuff. Like our first official episode, I guess, was because we called it episode one, right? So that was September 16th, 2011. And for a while, we went a little slow, and then we got through it. I think we started going back to like regular weekly. Was it probably 14? Like a couple of years into it? Because as I remember. I think maybe even 13. I think we've been going regular for a while now. Anyway. Wow. Well, I mean, look, what's changed, man? I figured, look, folks, if you're listening, by the way, this is just going to be James and I rapping for a bit, like just, you know, reminiscing and looking at the past, present, and future. Hopefully this is still entertaining, but, we have covered some ground, dude. We started with like just random topics. We got to the alternating format with news stories and interviews. And recently, within the last year, we switched straight up into interviews. We've had Michael on for a while as a regular guest. Shout out to him. Tuma's been on semi-regular guest. Big hugs to him. I'll probably see him this week in Dallas, actually. Yeah, man, it's been exciting.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think it's been fun switching up the format. You know, doing a little bit of newscast for a while, then we stopped and, you know, mostly just interviews and talking about other stuff. And I think that helps keep it a little fresh, to be honest. You know, so that way it's not just the same old thing that we're doing, but trying out different formats. You know, recently, when you were out at RSA, right, where we had the shirts.
Yeah, dude, that
with
was
Microsoft.
Awesome. I still have a couple of those, by the way. If people want them, you can still maybe get them from me. I have a couple left. I'd say I probably have 10 mediums and 10 larges left. So if you want a DTSR shirt, hey, thanks to Microsoft for making that happen. I've got a couple of laptop stickers as well. Man, you know what? Those things went like crazy at the Microsoft booth. It was actually kind of humbling to watch them just like get scarfed up by people. It was nuts, dude.
Well, it's funny because, you know, how long have we talked about doing some sort of shirt or some sort of sticker or something to be able to pass out? And we never really got the opportunity to do it. And then, of course, Microsoft brought this up and they made that possible. And, you know, it was a good kind of trial run to try that out, see how it works, and to see that, you know, it actually is received very well.
Well, James, do you remember who episode 100 was?
I do not, although I have the site up right now. I was actually scrolling down through. But
folks, if you didn't get a chance to listen to 100, 100 was with Dan Gear, and it was back on July 7th of 14, so a little bit over 4 years ago. That was probably one of my favorite episodes of all time. Dan is an absolute joy. One of the things that he said, it's kind of stuck with me throughout my career, is he talked about the absence of unmitigable surprise. So, you know, it's like we're trying to get to a point where we're no longer we're trying not to get surprised by like that, and that kind of echoes back to the guest we had over at 200, which was Mr. Jason Witte, and he told me, right, that he at, like 100 episodes later, he says his job as a CISO is to make sure that his board is not surprised. I'm sensing a theme, James.
Yeah. It's exactly what we have going on. You know, and it's funny as you look back through and look at like the topics we cover, a lot of them, you know, we cover the same topic over and over again, not repetitively to the point where it's over the top, but a lot of the same things we've been talking about over these last years, we keep talking about them. And it's kind of interesting if you go back and listen to some of those and see how some of that's changed a little bit. You know, you know, 4 years ago talking about a certain topic and now talking about that same topic today, the attitudes, some of them, they're a little different. You know, what we thought was a way to look at things back then has changed a little bit, which is, it's really interesting to see that because it's not really that long of a time.
Well, what's really funny is the whole thing, like what kicked off this podcast, and it was an end of summer thing. I think Dave Kennedy and myself and a couple other people started. I think maybe Dave posed the question on Twitter, is would you rather have a CISO that came from the ranks of the InfoSec crowd and worked their way up, or from the business and worked their way down? And like a fierce multi-day debate raged, and it went on for days and weeks. I'm like, well, this is going to be a great topic to go talk about. And somebody said, well, why don't you just, you know, record it? And I did, and it and I think we're still talking about it, because that topic hasn't gone away at all, because I've seen them both. I've seen them both work well, and I've seen them both work very poorly. So I guess it's not solved yet, huh?
No. I mean, well, you know, and it's funny. I see the same thing. You know, when I was a developer, you know, you ask those same questions. I mean, do I want somebody that's leading the team, or you know, leading up that aspect, somebody that's actually been through development, or somebody that comes from the other side? And I think, you know, security faces those same challenges that we've seen across IT for decades. And, you know, it's no different. It's just a matter of trying to figure out what works best. And like you said, it doesn't matter. You know, we're going to find some that come up through the ranks and they're going to be great. We're going to find that some that don't. We're going to find some that come over from business and they're going to be great. We're going to find some that don't. And, you know, I don't know how much actual study we do to try to find out people's experience and really lay that out across the board, versus these little one-offs that we see because we see, oh, I know this person and they either did good or they did bad and I can talk to it, you know, but we're not really seeing any mass statistics, I don't think, that really answer that question.
Well, I think that goes back to some of the challenges we've got in security. We've got tons of anecdotes, lots of cool war stories, but very, very little until recently. I remember that Kenna Security did that report. That study that we talked about, we had him on the air a couple weeks ago. That was brilliant. That's for the first time, that's actual data, like real study data that I've seen on the topic of patch management. And it turns out it's data that's freaking scary. Like the methods they used, you know, in some of them, if you're following some of them, your odds are just as good as chance of getting, you know, getting having to put a patch on that you spend time on that is completely worthless. Nobody loved it. Nobody actually attacks, and that is, I guess that sums a lot of this industry up. Is just we're immature. We're still not quite getting it. I mean, look, as I was scrolling back through the original episodes, trying to figure out like what got me started and how we got you know out of the blocks. Like the first couple episodes, right? I had Will Gradito and Nickerson on from way back when, and that was episode one, believe it or not. And the topic was, everyone's getting hacked, is it time to panic? And the answer was, right? The next episode was, you know, I think Bob Martin, or who was it? Who did I have on that show? Let me I'll have to go look that up now. But the topic was, can you get hacked out of business? It was, oh, I remember, Rob Hill, Martin McKay. I haven't talked to Martin in a while, and Rob out of the UK. And the topic was, can you get hacked out of business? And the answer is, at the time was, well, maybe, but we've gotten more mature. And so now we think, maybe. Right, so, you know, and we had, like, I remember this that theme continued, December 20th, 2011. If you hadn't heard this one, guys, go back to this one and catch it. December 20th, 2011. It's episode 8. It's with Chris Herron, and Chris was the guy that walked into Heartland Payment Systems. Some of you are not even old enough to remember this, but. Which is kind of unfortunate, actually. But he's the guy that walked into HPS, you know, right as they were, as the CISO, right as they were announcing this massive data breach in their card environment. And he talked about, you know, how to survive and thrive in this time of massive data breaches. We had episode 6, Jeff Moss. Come on, Jeff Moss. Man, it's got to be one of the best episodes of all time. There's so many. I want to go back and listen to some of these. I'm getting all nostalgic.
I know. It's actually funny, you know, going back through and looking at the stuff that came out with as long as ago as it was, you know, and thinking about some of these topics and thinking about the different things. Like, you know, you look at episode 3, which was QA and security. Can we make it work? And
maybe,
you know, something that I talk about all the time in AppSec is get your QA people doing security, right? And, you know, to think, I mean, we're sitting here talking about this same type of thing 7 years ago almost, and we're still talking about it. You know, we're still trying to do it. And that, you know, let's be honest, I'm seeing a lot more people actually start pushing that thing now. As we start moving forward, is more people are starting to make that push and saying, look, we really do need to embed this stuff in, and we can take some of this stuff and move it over. So, you know, it's fun to go back and look at, hey, what were we talking about way back then? And, hey, wow, we're still actually kind of talking about it, and hopefully maybe it'll start happening.
Maybe. It's been a while. Hey, I don't know if you guys remember episode 9 turned. So there's a bunch of like unnumbered episodes back in the back of this thing. But January of 2012, we talked to Jeff Rich. I haven't talked to him in a while. We need to get him back on the show because he talked about security table stakes. I had caught him at LastCon at OWASP back in January of 2012, and we talked shop about just kind of. What it takes to basically, you know, the fact that we're never actually taking anything off the table in security, right? Because I remember that that cool topic of, you know, everybody always wants to add new and advanced features. Well, what is it that you're replacing? And the answer is, well, never anything really, because the old stuff never actually goes away. It just, you know, it just becomes table stakes, as he called it. So if you've not gotten the chance to check out episode 9, Jeff's episode's brilliant. And we got into remember Gene, were you around for Gene Kim?
I don't think I was around for them, but it's funny because I was just looking at that and the fact that we actually have an episode that just says DevOps.
Right, there's no DevSecOps.
In 2012, we didn't have Sec DevOps or DevSecOps or anything like that. We had DevOps. And, you know, that to me, that says a lot because that's where we should have stayed.
And by the way, that was 6 years ago, right? We talked about we talked about this stuff 6 years ago. I mean.
And it wasn't that long ago that we talked about. Remember the title of an episode a couple episodes ago was, you know, Sec DevOps isn't a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Dunikov, I remember that one very well. We had a fun rant. I remember that. Golly, what else did we do? So we really had our like actual first. I guess the first time we actually had a lawyer on. This is predates Tuma, I guess, right? Going back to April 2012, T's and C's of cloud computing. We approached the shared responsibility model from a legal perspective. Wow, man. I got, they're scrolling through this stuff. There's just some, there's so, another episode on QA. It's Kevin Johnson and Kevin Riggins, or Kenneth Johnson and Kevin Riggins going back to, not Kevin, Kenneth, not the same guy, back in the June of 2012, QA and AppSec testing. Dun, dun, dun. We still get there.
We even had another DevOps live from HP.
Yeah, we did.
Discover Las Vegas.
Yeah, I did a couple of those. I remember those were some bunch of those unnumbered episodes. It's kind of fun just getting in front of people. Hey, we had Wicket and Galbraith on. That was freaking forever ago. That was a cool episode. I think I did that at last con too.
I almost need to just go back and reach out to these people and get them all back on again. Because
you think? I mean, that would be kind of fun.
I know. You know, I'll tell you, some of the stuff I kind of enjoyed the most talking about is when we talked about things like critical infrastructure. You know, we've had throughout the years talked about Internet of Things, but we've talked about IoT. We've talked about critical infrastructure, you know, news and media and all that stuff really hype it up that, you know, somebody's going to flip a switch and all the power is going to go out in the whole world. And it's been really eye opening to have some of the experts come on that deal actually with this stuff to be able to say, hey,
episode 23.
Yeah. You know, we really don't have, you know, one switch that controls the world. When it comes to electricity, especially in the United States. And, you know, so getting some of that info and talking to people that have been kind of on those front lines, because I think a lot of people that listen, you know, they're into enterprise IT or they're into enterprise security, and they don't get as much insight into some of that stuff, right? I mean, it's a little kind of outlier that we typically don't deal with in our normal corporate America. So pulling that in it just adds a little bit of that interest. I mean, those are some of the things that I really enjoyed.
I tell you, I'm going to try to get Brad back on. Brad Arkin, way back, episode 26. But he talked about the challenges of like super complex AppSec. And I remember trying my best not to I remember parts of that episode where I'm trying my absolute best not to like knock on him for Flash. Because that was a challenge, but I mean, it's still, you know, years and years later, we're still there. It's crazy.
I am with you, and it's been like I said, it's been interesting. I love the topics that we cover, and you know, I really enjoy too when we get people that engage with us on Twitter, and you know, either ask questions or, you know, share their ideas on stuff because, hey, let's be honest, we're not going to be right on everything. I mean,
I depend on who you ask. I'm not right on anything.
Yeah, well, but you know, I mean, to get people out there, I mean, you know, I mean, we're obviously limited in what we do for our work and what we can see and what we can talk about. To have other people in different situations be able to share the same type of stuff that they're doing, you know, I'd love to get more of that involvement as we go from 300 to 400.
Yeah.
You know, and get more stuff from people. I mean, we get, you know, we get those things on Twitter and we'll get people that make some comments. I wonder if there's a way we can figure out how to, you know, dig a little bit deeper into some of those and not necessarily have people on as guests per se, but be able to take out like their experience and share that experience with others.
Well, I mean, now that Twitter allows you to, you know, 1,000 characters or whatever we've said, 280 characters, or whatever, you should be able to tell stories and DMs. So the DTSR podcast Twitter handle has DMs open, so you guys could always send us notes and anecdotes if you want to send it, obviously anonymously via Twitter or to me or James via LinkedIn. We do love a good comment or an anecdote or something to talk about. I mean, you know. I just found the episode February 5th, 2013. We first had Tuma on the show.
Nice.
The Long and the Hacker.
I'll tell you, man, he has been an awesome resource to have on. He's a joy to have on and talk to.
Yeah, he's a joy. Sean's just an awesome dude. So I'm actually kind of excited that we got him as a semi-regular now that he's freaking famous. Can you imagine trying to get him on the show now? Come on, Sean, if you're listening, you know you're just a little famous right now. You've been on freaking Fox and CNN and God only knows where else.
He's running the tour, that's for sure. I mean, there is no doubt about that. So I looked, looking back, I was trying to find, looking on the site here. So I joined in on episode 33.
That's
right. Which was March 25th, 2013.
That's right. Wow.
So it's been, that's been a long time. That's for sure, man.
Yeah.
Wow. 5 years.
I can't. I told you
it's gone by fast. I mean, it doesn't feel like that long.
Good God, man. Wow. March 25th, 2013. Wow. That is.
And it was funny, you know, because I remember it. I remember you putting out on Twitter this call for, hey, I need a co-host. And I was sitting there and I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll shoot him a message. And I don't remember why. I don't remember if we'd like run into each other at DerbyCon or something before Maybe. That. Like, you know, we had crossed paths somehow. And so I sent you the thing. And we're like, sure. And look at us now. 300 episodes.
Yeah, 300 episodes later. It's like an old married couple at this point, right?
Is it?
I guess in some states. Jeez. But, I mean, look, we have certainly covered some – there have been – you know what's really funny is there's topics that we keep going back to. The concept of resiliency, AppSec is always a thing, intelligence and process and the whole role of ITSec and the language barrier. We keep going back to these themes. I wonder if it's something that clearly is important. Why aren't we talking? I mean, I feel like we should be having some better conversations. I mean, not us specifically, but I feel like there should be better conversations about this out there by now. I mean, come on, really?
Yeah, I mean, well, that I think too. I mean, that's what I'm kind of talking about too, like getting more engagement. You know, I mean, if you're listening to this and you've got, you know, thoughts on this, you want to share stories, I feel like there's more we can do from helping start that conversation. You know, we talk about it on here. You know, we'll get a guest on that comes in and has experience in that area or that topic of interest to be able to start that conversation. But now the next question is, how do we keep that conversation going? What's that platform that's going to do that? Because, you know, like you said, I mean, we're talking about a lot of the same topics over and over and over again. I mean, I guess it's going to happen, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, as security, we're kind of limited on our topics. We're talking about the same things and we get different ideas and we get different views. How do we take that and now progress that to that next step? Because, you know, we're starting the conversations. How do we get those conversations actually going forward?
Yeah. That's going to be the forever challenge, I think. I think what I'm actually pretty excited about, and it's something I'm actually quite proud of, is the fact that we've managed to take. It took some work, but on purpose, we took. My aim was to, when I started this, was to start a conversation, carry it out of the echo chamber, and make it office friendly, so you could listen to it at the office. Your boss could catch you listening; it'd be cool. You could listen with your kids or whatever, and there'd be always some kind of lesson learned, something to glean from it. I know I've learned just a metric boatload over the years. But you're right. How do we carry this conversation forward? I've been searching for that. You know, like when I was thinking about what are we doing for 300, and somebody said, you know, throw a party or do like, yeah, that's all good. But, you know, what are we really celebrating? I mean, I'm thrilled that we hit 300 and you guys still listen. In fact, you guys still – when did I post this? I posted this on Twitter. Hold that thought. Exactly on Saturday. So Saturday, June 9th, I posted the fact that we hit 1 million – 3,104 all-time downloads, 1 million downloads. I mean, we do this in our spare time. We don't, you know, make money on this. This is just kind of a thing that we do. It's humbling to have 1 million all-time downloads. It's pretty insane, James. How do we get this thing forward, though? It's still kind of rattling in my brain. You know, how do we engage more people? How do you guys, as you're listening, so this is one of my frustrations from conferences, not to get on too much of a rant, but you go as a speaker, right? I go up there, I do my thing. You guys all, you know, people in the audience nod along. Some people disagree, which is fine. Other people just are trying to, you know, rampantly stay awake, which is, I guess, also fine because, you know, that's what you're there for. But I get a lot of questions and I get people, you know, it seems like there's active interest, but the talk is over. My time is up. You know, the usual, you know, golf clap, and I'm off. And I usually stand there for a minute. And I'm like, all right. So who's going to be who wants to continue this going forward? And maybe it's the topics I'm presenting on. Maybe it's my content. I don't know. But I don't think it's just me though. I've seen other speakers struggle with the same thing, where it's like, you're done, and people go, that was cool, that was really awesome, okay, next. It's like, what did you learn from that? What do you want to bring forward? How do you continue that? Because the whole point of this is, right, this podcast, you know, all the conferences out there, go solve something, share knowledge. So how do we continue this in a better fashion? I don't have the key to that. I don't have the answer, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think I share the same experience. You know, I mean, every time I present it, I get kind of that same thing. You know, I mean, people are nodding along during the presentation. You know, I mean, everything seems to go well. You might get a few people that'll come up. They might ask some questions. You know, you hand out your card a few times. But then that, you know, and then it's off to the next thing. And so I am curious, you know, from listeners out there, do you have ideas for how to go further with some of this? You know, I mean, we've been fortunate enough, Raph, to be able to attend some actual pretty cool conferences. You know, going to Enfuse last year was cool. You know, I mean, having Microsoft with us for RSA this year with you being out there. I mean, getting those opportunities to come out and go to these conferences, you know, for those that are at the conferences, I'm curious on your aspect, you know, does that help? You know, if we're there and, you know, we're doing recordings from the conferences, and does that make it easier to start conversations? And obviously, you know, for those that don't go, we're trying to help spread that information that we're getting there. And, you know, it's so funny because the biggest thing I remember, and I think it was at InfoSec World, God, it had to have been like 3 years ago. And I think it was InfoSec World. And we
got the last time I was there
talking about we were talking about the devices that go into cars and the amount of information that gets tracked on
those. Oh, things. I remember. That was with
I forget the guy's name. And
James.
I don't know.
His name was James. He works for one of the insurance companies.
Right. Yeah, I didn't want to mention the insurance company he worked for. But nope. That was mind-blowing, the amount of detail that was provided. You know, like the amount of information that those things have. And I don't know. I mean, for me, that was kind of the first time where I really started thinking about like how much data organizations are collecting, you know, and realizing that, you know, they're connected because they don't even need it, but they might use it one day. And, you know, now fast forward a couple of years and now we've got GDPR and we've got all like lots of new stuff coming out regulating data and what we're doing. And, you know, it's just funny. You look back just a few years. And to me, it's interesting some of those conversations that really stick with you, you know, that just pop out. Like if you could pick a conversation, you can name that one from 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, yeah. I'm just thinking back on that specific one and just sort of how the Facebook announcement, the post election, you know, I forget, the Cambridge Analytica thing happened, and like data, we've been talking about within the echo chamber, right? Sort of the proliferation of data collection. Everybody's collecting data. Your smartwatch, your laptop, your GPS. I posted this on Twitter a while back. I got in my rental car and I went to add my phone so I could listen to my music as I drive to the office. And there were like two or three, already phones added, phone books and all. And I'm like, for crying out loud, people, right? Like, what is going on exactly? And, you know, I mean, look, a little bit of – because it downloads your phone book. A little work on that probably would have produced a lot of good information. Not that I want to do that because I still have a conscience. But it's interesting to see the amount of data being collected and left out in the open, like just left, right? It's just sitting out there. Nobody's really thinking about it. And GPSs, you know, phones, yeah, smart TVs. I have a friend that says that they won't you know touch the Google Home or Alexa or any of those. And I'm thinking to myself, well, all right, but you know you've probably got you know some vehicle monitoring system in your car, your phone, you know your smart assistant tracks you. If you have a smart TV, if you have any of the major cable provider, satellite providers, all that stuff, your smartwatch, like literally all of it tracks you and collects data on you. And I think I lost the argument officially because when Alexa emailed the content
the conversation,
yeah. I'm like, all right, I think I've lost this one. Thanks a lot.
I don't know. You know, it's funny because for me, so we have Google Home devices, and not because I wanted them, but because my wife wanted them. And
yeah, sure, blame her.
I was, you know, for the longest time, I was like, you know what, I'm not doing that. And I've started to get over. I feel like in security sometimes we're hypersensitive, and I'm starting to get over that and be like, whatever. Like I, you know what, that thing's not that bad. What's seriously gonna happen? First, I'm setting it up on my guest network, you know, so it's segregated out. But I mean, come on. I mean, it's gonna catch me talking to my wife or you know talking to my kids. I don't care, you know, and that's. It's one of those things where I look back. I did a presentation a couple of years ago at Code on the Beach here in Jacksonville talking about how hacking changed my perspective on development. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to be a professional developer anymore, right? Like I don't want to do that. That's why I moved to security because I did development. I don't want to do production development work. But I look at it and it's like, wow, all this stuff I know about security, like how would I develop anything anyway? I'd be so terrified to write a single line of code thinking, wow, what if I write this wrong? It's going to be hacked. I'm going to do this wrong. Right. And so over the years, I'm starting to like just get rid of that, you know, that whole thing and be like, you know what? It's fine. You know, it's not going to be that bad.
Well, so
my Nest thermostat's not that bad. My Google Home is not that bad. You know, if it wants to listen to what I'm watching to on TV, whatever.
Well, look, I think I can't remember the exact circumstance, but Rob Graham even said a while back that. It was a week or two ago, I tend to follow his snarky self a little bit because it starts to proliferate into my thinking. But he's like, you know, some of these things just aren't in my in my threat model. Like this is just stuff I'm not worried about. And I think that's true, right? As security professionals, if there's anything that's stuck with me over the years, it's that as security professionals, it is our job to continuously evaluate and reassess our own threat model. Against what is realistic, and what is essentially applicable, and I can't tell you anything that's more frustrating than having security professionals that don't understand the difference between you know broadly applicable and applicable to you. Like yes, Spectre and Meltdown definitely affected any place you had one of those chips, right? Which is basically everywhere. You know, there's such a ladder to climb to weaponize it. And by the way, are you going to become a victim of a nation state? You know, maybe. But if that's the case, right, then maybe you got a bigger problem. It's like, what was the PGP problem? What was the name for
E-fail.
That?
E-fail.
Crying out loud. A logo, official band, sponsorship. Yeah, right. But that's another one. Like, oh, no, the sky is falling. I think it was the EFF that came along and said, uninstall PGP. It's evil. It's like, are you kidding? Like, seriously? These are clearly people that do not understand the common threat. Now, I get it. If you're working with somebody that's being hunted by a nation state or attacked, you know, at fear for their life or whatever, I get it. Then this is something you should be worried about. Right, but at that point, you also have seriously bigger problems than that. So, like maybe whether your PGP email is secure is probably not at the top of your things to worry about list. Maybe it is. I don't know. But like my parents, right, or you know other family members are the general InfoSec practitioner probably not at risk for this thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know what, me sticking a Google Home at my business place, you know, I mean, in my corporate office, in the meeting room, is different. I mean, it's a whole different threat model than me sticking it in my living room, right? I mean, it's a huge difference there, and we have to be able to separate those out and understand that, because while we can sit there and say, look, we can find flaws in anything, those things can't be secure. I mean, we're talking about for the masses. We're not talking about really for your corporate environments for a lot of that stuff. You know, when you talk about home use items, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard the refrigerator hacked me? Or, you know, we always use this example. I don't even know where. I walk through Lowe's all the time. I haven't found an internet connected refrigerator yet. But, you know, we always use these examples. We're like, oh, the toaster's going to attack you, or the crock pot's going to be the way in. And it's like, but probably not. And even if they did, you know, what is that threat model from the end user? And I would like to point out that for those that listen, I don't believe, and I'd have to look back through, I don't believe we really had a major episode talking about eFail besides right now when we just mentioned it. And I don't want people to think that we just avoid certain topics, but let's be honest here. We had the option to talk about eFail, and from our perspective, right, we've had the conversations about hype and trying to quell some of that. You know, if it doesn't seem like that much, we're not trying to feed the hype engine. We're not trying to feed the echo chamber. We're trying to look at stuff from a reasonable point of view and, you know, be able to share that information. And, you know, I think on some things that come out, you know, there's been some big things that were very hyped up that oftentimes I don't think we really talk about. You know, and I think it's okay. I think we just want to come in like, guys, that's really not that big of a deal. We got nothing else more to say. You know, but I think as we've pointed out over the years that, you know, there's lots of stuff that we would consider hype a lot of times, not really part of most people's threat models, but it's really cool stuff. I mean, there's been some really interesting stuff. I mean, that's the great thing about security. That's the great thing about the hackerspace is they come up with really cool things. And we don't want to take away from that, but it doesn't really affect me sitting at my house. You know what I mean? Like that, I think we hopefully people see this is that we try to bring that kind of down to earth view on things and not just jump in and start making assumptions.
Yeah. Look, I hope as we continue this and I don't want it to seem like, I think you said this already, but like we're, you know, belittling any topics or not taking anything seriously. But this is a community where literally everything that we talk about could bring about the end of civilization as we know it in the right circumstance. The problem is most of them are never going to see that light of that circumstance, right? I think that report that we talked about on the show recently proved it. It's this concept of knowing necessary and appropriate. And boy, we've talked about those words several times. Either through news articles or guests that we've had, it's how far we've come, but how far we have yet to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot happening there. And, you know, one of the bigger topics I've been talking about recently with people is about sensitive information, privacy. You know, this is a huge topic these days. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I feel like half the time we see a lot of these breaches happen. And you look at the data breach notification list and some of the information that's on there these days that, oh, we have to report for this. This is considered personal information and this and that. I think, honestly, a lot of times people aren't even that concerned. It's not a privacy issue. Half the time it's a trust issue, right? It's a, I trusted you with this information and you shared it or you lost it, right? You suffered the breach. You lost this data. So now I'm going to get upset. And you look at they just had a couple days ago where there was mass number of breaches. What was like some heritage site, I think, and another one. But, you know, they talk about, oh, it was names and email addresses and physical addresses and, you know, phone numbers. And it's like, great, I can go onto most city websites. And if you've ever had a traffic citation or, you know, anything like that, I can get all that information. So there's so much stuff that – to me, and I teach this when I talk in my classes, it's like, you know, yes, we have stuff that's listed as sensitive data, personally identifiable data, but we have to think beyond what those lists are and realize that it's really more of a trust issue that we're breaching here. Is you've breached their trust in releasing that data, because as painstakingly as it is for me to look at it, you know, like every time I see the whole, oh, it was a breach of name and address, like, yeah, that's the phone book. You know, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I get, you know, probably name five different sites you could go to find my name and address. You know, it's out there. So it's not necessarily a sensitive information leak all the time. I mean, I think for some it is, but it's more of that trust. We gave you that. You're supposed to protect it. And it'll be interesting to see how that conversation moves forward.
It will be, and I hope it does move forward, because as you know, as we get into start coming up on what's next, 400, right? The challenge becomes not just have we done it. Like I like to think about this. You know, what have we accomplished in 300 episodes? What have we accomplished? And I've gotten, and now you have too, because they hashtag them with the podcast, but. We get these comments fairly regularly now, where it's, you know, hey, I'm using the podcast so I can grow my career, which is that's why we do this, you guys. Or I learned something different, or I found a new perspective. And some of the times I've gotten a couple that were just flat out, you guys are dumb and I disagree with you, which is fine. but if you can do that, at least present an alternative point of view that is correct. But I want to, as we get to 400, you know, start looking at the next 100 episodes, next, you know, roughly two and change years. What is that going to be like? You know, where are we going to be in 2 years? Because that now we're looking at 2020, man. So we're going to potentially looking at, you know, coming up on 2020 when we, when we're getting, you know, we'll be a couple months away from 2020 when we roll the 400th episode. And I wonder what we'll be talking about, because I remember a couple of years ago going through, like, what's the world going to be like in 2020? It's like, well,
right.
It'll be like today, but you'll be older.
Older and more sore, probably. Yeah, you know, what I would really like to see, and this is putting out to the listeners out there, because I'd love for people to be able to share, look back. I mean, we're 300 episodes in, you know, started back in 2011. So we're talking 7 years' time. Think about what you've done over the past 7 years. What things have you done within your careers? And, you know, it may not be 7 years, depending if you're new to the field or whatnot. But what have you done where you've seen, hey, I've actually made progress here? You know, or what things are we not seeing progress made? I mean, you know, we can sit here and talk about patching all day long, and we have people come on and talk about patch management. And, you know, we see breaches about Equifax where a missing patch was the cause. But, you know, are we seeing people being able to implement better patching and, you know, realistic timelines for when they get patches put on? Are there other things that you're doing in your role that you've seen actually get better over the years or get worse over the years? But I want to hear from people that listen and that are, you know, in the trenches every day, to what they see. I mean, think back over the past couple of years of the changes you've seen over this time and what you may see getting better, what you may see maybe even getting worse, because I think that would be interesting and a telling sign to see.
Yeah, you know, it's the world's gonna keep going. Whether we go along for the ride or not is entirely up to us, right?
Well, well, hopefully it's entirely up to us, but. You know, I mean, as we look forward, you know, some of the conversations we had at Enfuse last year, talk about when 5G comes out and, you know, the talk of, I mean, what was it? You know, our kids won't be driving, you know, all the cars will be
autonomous.
Automated self-driving. Yeah. Yeah, like our kids won't even know what a driver's license is, type of thing. I mean, it's crazy to think. And I don't know, how far off are we from that type of stuff?
You know, so my kids are 4.5, and Nico and Bella are just getting to the point where they're, you know, getting interested in. My son's always been interested in cars and trains, and my daughter's getting interested in cars and you know, kind of like the outside world more than some of their toys. But it's very, very interesting to think about what life will be like in 12 years, when, you know, 11 and a half years, when they're gonna, you know, at the point where they're potentially going to get their licenses. Like, at that point, I honestly don't think, because when I got my license, right, computers were barely a thing that we could you couldn't lug them around, for crying out loud. Right, it's a big brick on your desktop. Hell, now you know it's got more that the my smartwatch has more power than anything. It's kind of crazy. I mean, to think that, you know, where automation and where the human species is going to go with the kinds of things that we can do. And of course, I start to wonder, okay, what about all the data? What about all the security? As you guys are listening to this, ask yourself, what are we doing in our profession that's going to leave the world better for our kids than it is right now? Better for those that come after us? Because that's ultimately the goal in life, right? You don't just want to, you know, skate through and punch. I mean, it's, I guess if you're just punching a clock to do something. But we have passion in this community. We want to solve things. We want to get excited about stuff. And I kind of wonder, are we solving – are we getting to the right problems? And when we get to the table at those problems, is the point of view such that we're taken seriously and able to solve them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's it's tough to see. You know, I mean, watching, you know, my kids are just a little bit older than yours. And, you know, I mean, it's just so different from when we were growing up. You know, I mean, the fact that iPads and Kindles and all these things are just part of life now, you know. And I'll tell you what really is amazing to me is I've been watching my oldest, you know, grow up. And I mean, he's, you know, had access to an iPad for a long time, and his ability to just figure out how to use it. You know, I mean, you didn't have to tell him how to do anything. He'd figure it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's to the point, we went over to my wife's parents' house the other day for dinner, and, you know, her dad went in and was like, oh yeah, we'll let the boys watch some TV. And they pull the remote out, and my son's like, oh yeah, no, we know how to do this. It's fine. And he's like, I mean, my wife doesn't even know how to work the TV, and the kids know how to work it. You know, I mean, they just know how to do this stuff. And it's really going to be interesting to me how that changes their perspective versus maybe our current perspective, because a lot of us didn't grow up with this stuff. You know, when you grow up where everything's available online and you have, you know, you and I, we had, and a lot of the listeners, you know, we had a time where there wasn't license plate readers out on the highway. You know, the toll booths didn't know everything that was going on. They had a person sitting there that you had to throw some money at, you know, to get through them. But now, you know, we've got our, you know, generations grow up. They've never seen, you know, like a regular telephone. I mean, my wife brings a phone to her first grade class, you know, and you know, she watches the kids pick it up, you know, and like hold it upside down to their head. And, you know, they don't understand rotary dial, anything. They've never seen anything. What's a phone connected to the wall for? Like, what is this thing? And, you know, but now they grow up, all that stuff exists, right? I mean, it's well known all that stuff's tracked. By the time they drive a car, if they get to drive it, there'll be so much analytics tracked about everything they do in that car. Whereas we didn't have that. I remember getting in trouble because, I mean, I grew up in the backwoods in New Hampshire. And
I can tell.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Right? My dad had this green, like extended two-tone green van. It was ugly looking.
Is that the kind where you sell ice cream out of?
No. So it had windows on it, right? And but I mean, it was funny. Like, this thing had the one big giant back door. We'd load two four-wheelers into this thing, and we'd drive them off so we'd go riding. And so I was going to visit a friend who lives up this long dirt road in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, there's nothing out here. And so, you know, I'm young, you know, I'm you know, fishtailing a little bit on the dirt, having a good old time driving up to my friend's house. And sure enough, like 2 days later, my dad's asking me about it. I'm like, how could you possibly know about this? And sure enough, some guy he worked with happened to be hiking through the woods in that same area and saw the van. And he's the only one that had a van like it. Like, everybody knew my dad. And it, you know, now we got trackers on phone. Like, we know where the kid is. How long is it going to be before we know that the kid's off doing stuff like that? You know, and it's just amazing that difference, you know, and what we were okay with back then. And now we're like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. And now we know. And how's that going to be, you know, when we talk 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? I have a feeling it's not going to be very similar to what we see now. It's going to change a lot.
Yeah, man. Here it is, right? It's again, still for the first time. But here we go again. I mean, I don't know, guys. We're up on time, but and maybe a little bit over. Hope you guys didn't mind us taking a stroll here, but this podcast for me, not to get too nostalgic here, but this podcast for me has been a way to, frankly, selfishly reach some pretty freaking awesome people and get an excuse to go talk. By the way, if you are a vendor that wants to, get the word out, we're going to start thinking about how we can drive more conversations. And we're still not going to do like ads. We're just not. It's just not our thing. But if you want to like sponsor swag, or if you want to sponsor an episode and do something cool with us, I'm totally down with it. But it's fine. We're happy to find creative ways. And I know some of you guys reach out to us pretty regularly. But look on the website, or look on the podcast website, podcast.whiterabbit.net, 1T3 RABBIT. I'll post something. We'll work out something that that allows the kind of, and we'll call it an unconventional relationship, because I like smart people, and I think that vendors tend to get, having been on the vendor side for a while, tend to get a sort of an unfair, I don't know, swing at the plate, I guess, maybe, right? Because you're a vendor, you get put into a corner, you get told, all right, we're going to put big red label on you, says this is a vendor thing, and you clearly don't know what you're talking about, and you get dismissed. But we've had some people on the show that have been from vendors, you guys that have been freaking like awesome. So more of that is going to come. More of that, more of just maybe James and I ranting. I don't know. But definitely, like the next episode, I'm telling you right now, the next episode, if you guys miss the next one, you are gonna regret it, because it's gonna be fantastic. It's talking about, and somewhere Michael Santarcangelo's ears are gonna burn, but we're gonna talk about the global fraud and a security's impact, or lack thereof, on the problem. And so, and like identity and just the whole thing. It's mind-blowing. And James, unfortunately, I think you're gonna miss that one. But it's gonna be freaking awesome. And again, more stuff like that is coming. We're gonna start departing a little bit from the traditional security fare, the security conversations of what's hackable, what's not, and into sort of more ephemeral topics, things that are relevant to us, but we don't talk about enough. So that's it. All right, James, anything you wanna leave us with?
I mean, I don't want to get nostalgic about it too, but this has been, I've really enjoyed doing the podcast, hearing from people that are listening, hearing from people that are trying to break into the field, which, we see a lot of people doing that. It's just been a great resource, and I tell everybody about it that I can, that, hey, start listening, because what I like is we cover such a breadth of topics. I mean, it's not just one thing. We're not just talking about, hacking things and that type of stuff. I mean, it's such a wide range of topics, so it kind of covers something for everybody, and it might hit really deep for some, maybe shallow for some others, but it's the listeners that really, that's who we do this for. And so I appreciate everybody that listens, and provides feedback, and keep providing that feedback, because we love it.
Exactly. All right. 300 is down and over, and 301 is next. Again, don't miss that one. As we go forward, if you have suggestions, somebody you want to talk to, Mr. Jim Cramer, the invite is always open. If you can convince your publicist to return my emails, I guess I'm not that big of a deal. But yeah, no, guys, big deal or not, get people we know on the show. Let's get more of them, and let's make this thing even better going forward. Hashtag DTSR, and for everybody that's been a guest on the show, we thank you for the last 300 episodes and some others unnumbered, and looking forward to many more. I don't plan on stopping this anytime soon. I have no other life except this and work and family, so let's do this, more of this. So thanks for listening, you guys. We will catch you another time, another place, on episode 301 and then some. We'll see you guys later. Ciao.
As we fade out on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole episode, we'd like to encourage you to chat with our hosts and guests using the Twitter hashtag #DTSR.
Please check out the show notes, catch up on any episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. Our website is whiterabbit.net, whiterabbit.net. So on behalf of Rafal, James, for now it's goodbye. We'll see you soon on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast.